It wasn't the way it was. I was out at the pool almost naked with girls my age from 19 to 40. And they saw me from the window up there where they got the room, where they got the glasses on you. And they come down there, he and Tommy. Got me out of there just when I was getting comfortable in it. T.C., I thank you and bless your heart, Sue. She's the one that does the deal. I'd get to listen to her on the phone and I'd forget what she's saying because I love to hear her talk. Y'all talk different, you know. Just love it. God, I could just hear you. That's all I was doing with those girls this afternoon, just listening to them talk. I thank you all in the committee for having me. God, I'm glad I didn't get the October one. I got the sweet one. I love the sweet ones. God, I knew when I got here Thursday, we was all right. Hell, we're just all right when the sweet folks get together. And I like the little ones. I don't know why we call it little. Hell, this is sardines are in here now. Poor things can't even smoke when they get in here. I feel for you, but of course I've quit. And I know how bad you are, but I never did overdo that. I never did smoke over 3.5 packs a day, and unless, you know, I stayed up. We've got to be here for something. Oh, I'm Jim Williams, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm really not supposed to be an alcoholic. I look like an alcoholic. I don't even feel like an alcoholic. I'm supposed to be, and I was raised, programmed to be a Southern Baptist. And you know, they're the real ones. We're the ones that's going in first. And we're the ones that's going to pray for y'all because y'all have to go through Atlanta. And my God, we've got to pray for the Catholics. Hell, they drink. I didn't get to talk to any of them until I got to AA. Of course, you know the Episcopalians, they just got tired being Catholics. Presbyterians, they knew it was going to happen. Church of Christ don't like music. Y'all want any more theology tonight? You can tell I'm in it real heavy. I studied for a long time, you know, 43 straight years I studied it to get ready to find out what it was. But I started out like a lot of people. I was born. Hasn't happened to everybody, but it happens to some of us. Small town in Texas, we've got dry counties, which means we don't sell booze in about 230 counties out of the 254. And I was raised in one of those that was pure. We had one guy that was bad, and his name was Old Bratch, and he slept downtown, and he drank wine and bay rum. I never did drink bay rum, and I always tried to get out of town before I went to sleep. And they told me about that. And we had a guy stand up there like that. If you think it, you might as well have done it. Hell, I was thinking it. I didn't even know what it was, but I knew I was thinking it. Finally got to be about 13, which will happen to you if you do what I was doing one day at a time. Got around this girl and got those funny feelings. And I told them about it. They said, we've been meaning to talk to you. See, I knew they had. You know, it's not like AA. AA said, well, I saw Grady land the ditch last night. If he lives, we'll get him. And this bunch, they look, they see that bad sparkle in your eye. And they know what you're thinking. And they hone in on you, start praying at you, and singing that last stanza for that one right back there. My God, your throat hurts. You know they're talking about you. Well, when I told them about it, they said, we'd been meaning for you to join up with us. Well, I knew if I did, they'd like me. And I wasn't being liked enough. I couldn't fit in. And things weren't working out already. So I finally, when they sang that last stanza for that one right back there, I came down the aisle. It's kind of like an egg, except don't give out any chips. They hug you and kiss you and tell you how great you are, and you know you're not. But God, I like it. Then they throw you in the tank, and the handkerchief leaks. You choke a little, but hell, you come out okay. Next day, went to school, saw that girl, came right back. I said, well, we're going to have to do it again. Didn't take. They said, no, you just don't do it. Well, they didn't know. I didn't know how to don't do anything. I didn't know they could just say, don't do that anymore. And hell, they didn't do it. I said, how do you don't do it? Don't think about it. I said, I wonder why I didn't think about that. And I thought, well, it's only 2:30. I've been thinking about it all day today. I'll just go ahead and think about it the rest of the day. Then tomorrow when I get up, I won't ever think about it again. Got up the next day and thought about it more than I ever thought about it in my life. I had no idea that I'm the kind of guy, when I start not to do something, I'm going to do it more than I ever did before in my life. When I start not to think about it, hell, I'm going to think about it all night. You can't stop thinking about it when you wake up and you're thinking about it. I always thought, God, if I could stop thinking about it right before I wake up, I wouldn't think about it. But I haven't figured out how to do that yet. Well, I heard about this town 30 miles away. Finally got out of high school. Had to go to summer school to get out of high school. I was busy. I don't know what I was doing, but whatever I was doing didn't count. And it interfered with what I was supposed to be doing, I guess. So I had to go to summer school to get out of school. 30 miles away was a town that was wild and wicked. They sold that stuff. And this guy and I, on Saturday, that's before you did things during the week. Now, in Texas, a lot of them take a bath now, even during the week. Used to, they didn't do that except on Saturdays. And we went over there and opened the door of that honky-tonk, and there was a deacon with a warm girl in one hand and a cold beer in the other. I thought, my God, let's get out of here. He'll tell Jesus on us. And we didn't even get to do it. You know, if you get caught before you do it, you really ought to give it up. This guy said, well, he can't tell anybody, but I knew he had a better shot with Jesus than I did. However, he was happier than I'd ever seen him. And I liked the girl he was with a lot better than the one he ran around with on Sunday morning. I'd see him every morning. He was sad, and I thought that deacons were just sad. Now I know, hell, he's just tired. We drank two beers. Nothing happened, didn't taste good, didn't feel good. I was glad to get out of there. The next morning I got up and I wanted to go to church for the first time in my life. I thought maybe he hadn't been going and I hadn't noticed it. Maybe you get old enough, you don't have to go. There he was, sad like he always was. Then I had my first spiritual awakening. Maybe you can do it a little bit and just don't tell anybody. So I told my buddy, I said, next Saturday, don't tell a soul. We're going to go back to his big town, have two joints, go into the other joint. Went to the other joint, didn't see a deacon I knew, learned how to do everything but commit adultery. And I'd done that, except I didn't know how. In the second place, you know how we are. Think about it all day long, then get tied up that night. Miss it. Then if we do, we don't know whether we did or not. You can't call back and say, we do anything last night? Hell, you might have, and it's fine, you know. I didn't even know I knew how to drink. Started drinking one drink right after, one beer right after. You just keep drinking, you get feeling as good, can't feel at all. Learned how to dance. Something bad is not supposed to dance, one of the commandments, you know, no dancing. And I learned how to dance, fall down the dance floor and break my nose. I did it 5 or 6 times after I learned how to do it. Blacked out, waked up the next morning, threw up just like I was supposed to. This guy called and said, how you feel? I said, God, I feel horrible. He said, oh, but you had a great time. I said, oh, well. Then I knew how to have a good time. Just go out and get drunk, black out, wake up the next morning, throw up, then you know you had a good time. Did not know you drank it any other way. I thought people who didn't drink, they just drank a drink, didn't drink. I liked the whatever that was to let it go. I don't know what that was, but I loved to let whatever that was go. I had a little trouble catching it back sometimes. I'd slide into Monday sometimes, but I really love to let her fly on Saturdays. Just let that doesn't sound too bad right now. Just let her go. Well, I knew you couldn't do it a lot. Because I didn't have the money and to get caught, so I just did it a lot when I did. I didn't know I couldn't do it a little anyway. I never did know I couldn't do it a little. I never tried to do it a little. I just used to try not to do it the way I was doing it. And I'm not too sure I always did it the same way. I just always ended up the same way. Well, they had a war. Of course, I needed to be needed. And had a poster out there that said, Uncle Sam needs you. That's me. And I went. God, that was a funny bunch. They got up in the dark. And they'd eat when you'd throw up, you know. And they were scared to death. My God, they never walked unless they went in groups. Get out in the hot summertime. Nothing going on. They just got out and walked. We walked together. And I'm not that crazy about boys anyway, you know. Then they decided to go to China, my group. I don't know why. We just went. I never did figure out why after I got over there. But I was in the Air Force. So we went by boat. A lot of Chinese over there. They have more Chinese than they've got anything else. You'd be out on a road in the mountains in one of those jeeps, and you'd stop there a little bit to eat a little sea rations or something, and there wouldn't be anybody. You'd wait about 10 minutes, and here they come out behind those trees. They got more Chinese, they got rice, they got more Chinese, they got trees. After about 3 weeks, well, I'd seen everything there was, which was Chinese. And I told them I was ready to come home, and my God, we stayed 2 years. Then we came back by boat. Then everybody's going to school. I didn't want to go to school. My folks would say things like, Jimmy would never want to do that. Yeah, I did too. Already done it twice, getting ready to do it again. Jimmy would want to do this. No, I didn't either. Everything they wanted me to do, I didn't want to do. Everything they knew I wanted to do, I didn't want to do. And I knew I wasn't fitting in this deal. I just wasn't in the deal. Whatever the deal was, I got a boyfriend and I just move in with him. God, he'd pull off from me, then I'd just pull off myself. And I never could fit into this thing. And I was having trouble trying to go to school. My God, I never got out of school. And my folks said, you will never be able to get a job if you do not have that piece of paper. Everybody coming out of the service is going to school and getting that piece of paper. Well, I got that piece of paper, but I proved my folks wrong. You've got to have something besides that piece of paper. I made sure that I didn't learn one single thing. I took courses that never fit anything. They were of no benefit whatsoever. The only thing I did was help some professors stay working. You know what I like about you and I? See, I proved my folks wrong. Took me 3.5 years to do that. There's not a lot of people like you and I. Just to be right, we'll insist upon even destroying ourselves. Do you know a lot of people won't do that? A lot of people will say, you know, I may be wrong about that. You and I shall never be guilty of making that statement. Only time you and I will ever make that statement is when we know for sure we're right. Then we might say, you know, I could be wrong about that. Well, I had a very disappointing thing. I was working part-time going to school. When I got out of school, you know what? You're supposed to go to work full-time. And everywhere I worked, wanted you to go to work on Mondays. Mondays were bad days for me. I just couldn't slide out of Sunday quick enough to get into Monday. And everywhere I worked, you couldn't have the flu on Monday. You could have flu on Thursday, but never on Monday. And where I was working, they didn't run it right. And I was having some minor difficulties with women. If you put 10 pretty girls up there, I'll get the sick one every time. I don't know where I learned how to do that. I'd see these guys and they'd just go with any girl. Hell, you can't go with any girl. You gotta make sure she's a nice girl and a girl you can be in love with and a girl you can take home. Hell, the Baptist teach you that. You just can't go with just any girl. I'd see those guys doing that and I'd finally find that one. God, when you'd finally find her, God, we'd be so much in love in 2 months, I'd almost have to quit work. Then they'd just deteriorate from there on out. I thought AA was the most fantastic thing I ever saw in my life. First time in my life I'd ever been anywhere where they had the sick women grouped. And being open-minded, I like both kinds. The one that got sick doing it, and the one that got sick watching them do it. I thought, God, this is the most fantastic place I ever saw in mine. Then I get a sponsor that's a deacon that won't let you do it. Finally, God, I was having trouble where I worked. They never did run it right. And you and I cannot stand to see something not being done right. And I insisted upon them doing it the way it's supposed to be done, which is right. And for some reason, just because they owned it, they wanted to run it their way. I've never been able to understand that, when they could use all this valuable information from us. Some of those places where I worked that I got fired from are still operating doing it wrong. Finally got fired enough, I couldn't get a job. And the way I would look for jobs, I'd get up every morning and throw up and spray. And then go fill out one of those damn forms that ask you personal questions like, where have you worked the last 10 years? Hell, it's none of their business. They even ask you where you've lived the last 10 years. And when you have to look in those blanks, not knowing them very well, wonder what they want me to say. That takes an hour and a half to fill that damn thing out. 10 minutes for the interview, and then don't get the job, go out and get drunk, and I just do that one day at a time. And I finally saved this one place that I knew the guy that there, I knew they had an opening, and I knew they needed me. And I knew I'd get the job. And I went there, and that guy was sitting there with this other guy, and I knew there was something, though, he wanted to tell me, but he didn't know how to do it. And he said, you don't want this job. I said, yeah. God, I've got to have the job. I'm broke. I need the job. You don't want this job. Didn't get the job. I could also tell they were going to be more comfortable when I left. So I got out of there and went out of there and got drunk, waked up the next morning. I said, you know, I've been doing this for almost 10 days. I think I'll just take the day off. So I went out to the golf course and ate an old egg, an old piece of toast. Went around to where my last friend was, ran that little old beer joint right next to the golf course. And he said, God, you look terrible this morning. I said, you know, I think I'm coming down with something. He said, the way you're vibrating, I think you need a beer. And I said, oh, my God, I couldn't drink one right now. I said, you know, I'm Baptist. I never drink before noon, which is 10:30. And he said, well, it's 9:15, but I don't think it makes a damn bit of difference the way you look. So I drank half that beer and sprayed the golf course with it. I don't mind spraying if I don't lose my concentration. Get the thing about women or something, you know, and goes through my nose and burns. And God, you got to drink the rest of the day to kill the pain. And I knew how to meditate before I got here. I do not meditate that deeply anymore. It's when it's just, when it's stringy, and it's just you, God, and the commode. It's, oh, God. And then you don't know where the end is. And you can't breathe because you get it back. And you don't know whether you're going or coming. You know, they ought to use that commode for this energy crisis. You know, when you meditate like that, it's tiring. And I'd lean over there, and it's hot sometimes, and it'd be just as cool. I told this guy, I said, I think I better go home and lie down. I didn't get to use these vibrators in these motels for 2 years after I was sober. I just vibrate all by myself. And I love to go home and have meetings with me. I call on hospitals, and I'd be going by this hospital, and I'd say, God, I hate to go in an old hospital. You can't hardly find a parking place. When you do, you got to carry that kit down through the lobby, down the basement, way down. And you know that damn purchasing agent. He ain't going to buy anything anyway. You don't even have to park. Just drive right on by. A lot of people can't decide those things like you and I. Then you can go to the beer joint at 10:30, which is noon, and they say, how was your day? Wasn't worth a damn. Didn't buy anything again today. So I decided to have a meeting. So I got in the living room, and I decided that I would commit suicide, and those guys that didn't hire me would worry about it for the rest of their days. They'd read in the headlines, Jimmy Williams, commit suicide, and they'll never be able to get over it. But I didn't know how to do it. Now everything's a cinch. You see it all the time. I see it on television all the time. Suicide, call that number. You don't have to know anything anymore. Hell, you just wait and it'll be on TV and you call them up and they tell you what to do. Hell, you don't have to go to school or anything anymore, I don't guess. I think you just find it out, wait on TV and there'll be the sign. It was all cold turkey then. I didn't like guns because they made noise. I don't like noise in the morning. And besides that, they splatter. Razor blades were popular then. This was before overdose, you know, overdose. You're not going to remember anything but the pump. And I like people to be sound in mind and body when you commit suicide. And you'll know all about it. Hell, I did it 3 times. I remember every minute of it. Hell, I was involved in it. Just failed, that's all. Well, I didn't know how to do it. Hell, I'd always read in the paper, they'd say, cut his wrist with a razor blade. Well, I didn't know how deep, which one, what kind of blade. I didn't know how to do it. I knew you couldn't do it in the living room. Hell, you get blood all over the carpet. Now I'm always thinking of others, you know. So I went in the bathroom, got my razor blade, sat down on the throne, did a lot of things in there anyway. And I knew, I cut both wrists just a little bit. I knew if you cut one, the left side would die and the right side would be alive. Even hadn't done it before, I had sense enough to know that you need to die evenly. So I'm sitting there with listening to the drip, thinking about those guys, worrying about it the rest of their days, and the phone rang. Then I thought, what if where I'm going, I'll always wonder who that was called. That'd be enough to run you crazy. So I put a Band-Aid on my wrist right quick and answered the phone. It was the police. You know, they've been taught kind of like ministers. Come go along with me. Except I've never seen one of them yet. Didn't have personality change. Every time they say, come go along with me, I say, I'm sorry, I can't go. And they start to get all upset. I said, by God, I'm not going. I've got to go home. Then they go nuts and you have to pacify them and go along with them. Guy said, where were you last night? I said, I was right here. And he said, no, you wasn't. I said, how do you know? And he said, we was there. Then I didn't want to talk to him anymore. I'd already learned, don't ever talk to anybody knows more about where you've been than you do. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, well, you can either come down here or we'll come back out there and get you. I said, I'll be right there. And he says, I'd bring an attorney if I were you. I said, I'll do that. That'll take me an extra 30 minutes. Don't wait on me now and I'll be there. Be about 30 minutes later, but I'll be there. I hung up the phone. God, I love to live with me. I can live a week in a half a day. I've had a hell of a day and it's only 11 o'clock. I've committed suicide about the golf course. I've thrown up. I've had a hell of a day. I've had 2 big meetings and getting ready to have another one. So I just got to having a call in the Williamses. We all had another meeting. And I decided, hell, you know, I believe I've lived in Houston long enough. These people haven't been treating me right. And now the police is on me for some silly thing. It won't even tell me what it is. I think I'll just leave town. So I put all my clothes, dirty clothes, and whatever I had, and all my stuff. I had one piece of furniture and a lamp. I guess I was going to carry the light if I could ever find the plug, so put it on top of all those clothes. There's just room for me, and I mailed the key to the folks that owned the place. Picked up a pint of whiskey and left town. Had $36, which was plenty then before inflation to start a new career. Waked up the next morning about 175 miles from Houston and had $7. And I said, Wonder how my folks are getting along. And I call them Lele and Poor. That's easy to say as Jekyll Island, for God's sake. And they said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm just out riding around. Looking up some old friends. I haven't met them yet, but I knew them in every town was just waiting for me. They said, why don't you come by here and have a cup of coffee? I said, I believe we will. I never shortchanged my folks. They're never going to get their money back. So I always gave them my very finest story. In fact, when I got to listening to me that night, I thought, God, hell, I cried with them. I had no idea. I thought it was bad, but I had no idea it was that horrible. Hell, if I'd have known it was that bad, I'd have left Houston 3 years earlier. And old John said, well, Jimmy's honest. Let him have 100. That just changed your whole attitude. Tell you just, all I've got to do is sweat her out that night, and then I'm going to be all right. Got up the next morning and told my aunt, I says, you know, there's one little thing I left out last night. During all that horrible time, I was drinking some. And you know what I decided to do last night? I'm never going to drink again as long as I live. My folks just looked at me like it was a blank wall. After I got to AA, I went back and I said, you remember that time? She said, which one? Then she said, well, I think I know the one you're talking about. Said, I turned around to John after you drove off and says, what do you think? And he said, he's 33. He'll never make it till he's 35. That every time you'd leave, we thought, that's probably the last time we'll see you alive. Well, I had 36 bucks. I didn't know where to go. 107, rather. Now I've got 107. I'll pick it up already. I've got business going now. Things are working. You know, I love the way we work things. We get things working. I've already improved. Started out with 36, went down to 7, now I'm back to 107. I thought, well, I'll go down to Rio Grande Valley. That's the end of the world, you know. That's the end. They change countries down there. Got a little creek. Changed countries. Drove right out of Fort Worth, got out about 15 miles, and stopped at a filling station, just happened to sell beer, and I said, how far is to Waco? They said 79 miles. I said, let me have 3. Ended up down in Rio Grande Valley. It's pretty down there. They got palm trees down there. Not as pretty as here, but they got them, you know. End up down there, and of course, I looked funny with all my dirty clothes and clean clothes there. Got in one of the beautiful downtown hotel, just the economy hotel, and I never took my clothes out of the car. Every morning, I'd go down to this place where I knew a guy was supposed to be working, and sure enough he was, and I'd go down there trying to get a job, and then that next morning I'd get up and go out and get a pair of shorts, socks, go up, change clothes, did that every morning, walk across the street where I had my car parked. I know I looked good, and it was obvious I wasn't going to have to go back and get anything. And after 3 weeks, they hired me. And for some reason, I could just get drunk, not drunk, until I could get up into my place. Sometimes I had to tell them about the boys that they had in the wrong place. Sometimes I even had to let them go when they had a bad one there, you know, after I explained it to them. And then I'd get up into my place, and then I'd be okay. And I got up into my place, and I used to go get off in the afternoon, so I'd go rest a little bit. Sometimes I'd be too tired to go get drunk. I'd have to rest a little bit to go get drunk. I was over there resting one afternoon, and the manager came by and said, would you like to go get a beer? And I said, oh, one. He was a drunk, just like me. I lasted there 7 years, till he let me down and got fired. And I'm still trying to get married. I'm having a hard time courting. I decided to change up. I was always true, and I always just had one. And it always deteriorates, and then when they're gone, there I am standing there in love with no girl, which is awkward. And it takes a couple of months to find them. So this time I said, I'm going to change the deal up. I'm going to have a one and a spare. Well, I don't do well with either one of them. You know, you call them about 3:30 in the afternoon and say, see you about 7:38. Might be 4 or 5 days before you get by there. It's hard to court when you're busy. Love them. Finally, one night at 11 o'clock, I'm up. See, I'm not supposed to be up at 11 on Friday nights. I'm supposed to be on my late show on Saturday nights. See, I get off at noon on Saturday, and I run out and get drunk, and run home and go to sleep, and get up about 9:30, 10 o'clock on Saturday, and get drunk, and come home by daylight. and then just taper off suddenly. And that's my routine, and I'm always in bed by 9:30 every night during the week, because I get drunk in the afternoon. I like to celebrate early. And that's what I was doing. But this on this Friday night, I wasn't going to work. On that Saturday night, I'm up and I'm over at her house. The number one one. And being honest person always, I made a little expression like, I think I'll go by and see so-and-so on the way home. And for some reason, it upset her. I wanted to go to the bathroom first, and she follows me in there to discuss it. That's the wrong place to have a meeting. Don't have meetings in the bathroom. Everything, even the wood there, is solid. Firm. Everything's firm except that little piece of carpet you're standing on. I don't know what happened except the next morning, I'm living in a beautiful place, an old faded green trailer in an alley behind a motel. I had those rock yards before these people ever started putting them in. Those old weeds would come up there and I'd say, you'll never make it. And I'd already learned how to wake up in total fright in my own bed. In quiet time. And about that time, I'm laying there and something goes, whack! God, I've come out of that place like a shot. Looked down, still had my clothes on. I said, oh, I bet I was going to go somewhere early this morning. There I am in total fright. Looked down on that old white shirt, had a little blood on it. I said, oh, my God, blood makes me sick, you know. Didn't know whose it was. And my head felt like I'd been hit in the head with a hammer. You know, I felt like I'd been in a car wreck. And I opened the door, and there was that 6'4", 240-pound Baptist preacher. Said, come go along with me. I said, preacher, I can't make it. I know I look like I'm ready. I know I look like I'm ready for me, but I'm really not. I'm not ready. I tell you the truth, preacher, I'm flying apart. I had a late night last night. He said, get in the car. I said, preacher, I can't. I'm in total fright, no light, no nothing. I just can't. He said, get in the car. God, I got in the car and I went into total fright. I can't handle total fright with no light. I just can't do it. I said, preacher, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to have a beer. I'm going to pass out. If I don't have a beer, I'm not going to make it. He said, there'll be no drinking before the meeting. I said, I'm not going to make the meeting. Then we drove up in front of her house. I assumed it's going to be in her house. So I went in there, and God, my head was throbbing. Besides being total fright, my head felt, God, had knots on it. Her belt doesn't have knots. And I went in there, and she did look like she might have fallen in a bush or something. And I said, I got to go to the bathroom. And I went in the bathroom, and I want to tell you something. I looked in that mirror. She won. 2 weeks later, we got married. What I think really happened that night, though, and she never would tell me the truth, I think I probably lost my equilibrium, fell in that bathtub, and she stepped on me. We got married 2 weeks later in the First Baptist Church in downtown Harlingen, so it would work. No drinking before the funeral or ceremony. I said, since you've been married before, and I haven't, let's don't invite anybody. And I'm up again on Friday night at 11 o'clock. And I start calling everybody till 3 in the morning. Of course, I'm in top form, and we will not be able to drink before 10 o'clock. And I'm really vibrating. And my best friend, beer distributor, comes up and says, you called me at 2:45 this morning. Said, I'm going to tell you something. We didn't come down here to see y'all get married. We came down here because we didn't believe it. Y'all's friends don't even like each other. And the longest bet on your marriage is 3 weeks. But I showed them. We hung it in there for 8 years. But my life changed. I had no idea how nice it was to get up and throw up in peace. I was always going to quit smoking because it made me gag in the morning. So I grabbed those cigarettes and that coffee and go in that bathroom and lock that door, and she's telling me what I am through that door. I've got to get upset, go out and make the living, run out and get drunk, come home, tell her what she was, and we did that one day at a time. Only good day we ever had was it both just too tired. One night I came home and I thought, hell, I might as well go home early. Just 9:30, I think I'll go home and just see her. How she's getting along. I'll go home blacked out. And I thought, hell, I just felt good. And I went home, it was hot and summer, and she informed me at the door that the air conditioner had only been off for 3 days, and I had not noticed it. But I'm easy to get along with, and I just kind of let things go. You know, we've learned how to let things happen. So I pulled off to my shorts, and I'm laying there in bed, and I thought everything's just fine. About that time, she came in with a Magnum pistol right there. And I looked up at that, and I said, "Lord, if you'll just let me out of this deal, I'll never get back here again as long as we're here. I'll guarantee you, Lord, if you'll just don't let her pull that trigger, I will not be here tomorrow. I will not be here tomorrow." She didn't pull the trigger, and I was back there tomorrow. Then I went to see the preacher. And I said, "Preacher, the deal's not working." He said, "You know what's wrong with y'all? You're missing the beauty of life." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you know that the fruit trees are in bloom?" I said, "No." He said, "Why don't you get her and get in the car and go out and smell the aroma and look at the blossoms?" I said, "Yeah." Jumped in the car, ran home, opened the door, said, "Get in the car!" She said, "What for?" "We're going to go look at the blossoms." She said, "The blossoms?" I said, "Yeah, we missed the whole damn thing." She got in the car, we drove by the hop shop, got a 6-pack of beer, and I saw a sign that said, "Matamoros, 14 miles, turned left, went to Matamoros, switched to tequila, blacked out, missed the whole damn thing." Lost that job. And I don't know what time it is, or where we are, or what time it is, so you just have to signal me or do whatever you need to do. Because I'm lost now. Y'all, that blossom deal. Lost that job, couldn't get one. Went totally, completely insane for 2 solid months looking for a job. And finally, a drunk just like me hired me. And he was manager of a drug company. It took him about 5 weeks to get rid of me. 2 drunks in that company was one too many. And he shipped me to West Texas. And I mean, if you haven't been to West Texas, you haven't been places. Out there, I moved me to a little town of 536 people, and 36 of them were making a living. And I joined the 500. West Texas has trees about that high. You can see California on a clear day. And I'm supposed to hold a pad like that and write drugs on it. Well, hell, you can't do it. It won't work. My arms never work together. And you cannot do it. And that pharmacist says, "You look like you're going to fly apart." I said, "Any minute." He said, "Take some of these." This was before Valium. I understand Valium, both eyes crossed and you walk straight. This was just Librium, which is nothing. Just a little green, two-tone green stuff, you know. I took a couple of them and nothing happened. Hell, I waited 15, 20 seconds. And I'm used to taking something that burns and does something. So I took 3 more. And my knee just went, I said, "God, I know how to weave. Now I've got to learn new stamps." I'd always tickle them when the pharmacist would say, "Jim, I'm a little short of 10. 25's okay? Be fine. Take 5 tens, take 5 25. What's the difference?" So I took Librium daytime, drank beer at night. Now I had one decision to make that I had every night after the 3rd beer, never before and never after. If I'm going to go home early, I'll switch to bourbon. Go get a pint of bourbon, put it on top of that Librium, and that beer, and then go right on home, blacked out just like you're supposed to. Or, if I'm going to stay on beer, I'll just close the joint and go home blacked out just like you're supposed to. I went home one way and one way only, blacked out. I like to drive blacked out because nothing bothers you. You know, you can even have a wreck blacked out and hardly notice it at all. And I used to love to drive right before the blackout. My stripe always went to the right. I kept saying, God, I want to remember to ask those guys if their stripe ever goes to the left. Mine always goes to the right. I thought it's probably because I'm right-handed. And you know, if it's a long trip, God, that old burn comes down there and gets to dripping. They used to love it, but I did it. Then you're driving along, have two taillights up there, you know, and your stripe's doing just fine. You say, I think I'd like some more light. Open your eye and get eight taillights, you know, and the stripe goes off the right. Now driving is just boring. You just got to sit there with nothing to do. You get two taillights, that's all you get. Can't get eight anymore. Nothing. Finally, a guy recommended me for a job, and they hired me and sent me back to Houston. March of 1965. And I got a two-holer, and we set up battle. And we weren't sleeping together, and I was praying for someone to sleep with her. Nobody would. Because I was having a little bit. I was trying to court some others, but just had to almost give it up because I was so busy. God, I was busy, 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 busy. Just busy. Start drinking around 3 or 3:30 every afternoon, and you just get so tied up. Hell, you just can't do it. Just too much business. There's too many things to settle, the president and all the world. Just too damn much stuff that we've got to work on every night that we can't get to it. And these customers never saw me drunk. I'd always go and get drunk and do my thing after I left them. If I had a drink with them, I'd just do this. Well, the day before Christmas Eve of 1965, I still drink a lot. The day before Christmas of 1965, I played golf with these administrators and their in-laws and outlaws. And I was trying to be a little too hospitable. And I'd taken some beer with us, and one of them drank like I did, and I helped him and encouraged him and blacked out at their house and drove one side of Houston, the other blacked out, which was nothing new for me. I've driven thousands of miles blacked out. Waked up the next morning, just like I was supposed to, in total fright. Looked out there, and my car is back. I quit talking to it because it never told me I got back. Parked funny, no new dents or anything. And I guess heard on radio. Oh, what's the name had gone next door. They're getting ready to have a party Christmas Eve. And I looked up, I'm not an alcoholic, but I looked up under Alcoholics Anonymous and called in a group. And Carolyn answered the phone. And acted like she was glad I called. I should have known then I had the wrong number. And she said, somebody be right out. Well, I waited an hour, nobody showed, and it's 10:15. I looked in the icebox, had three beers. I thought, hell, I don't need him. Everything's going to be all right. But I couldn't remember who I called. About that time, the phone rang. He said, I'll be right there before I can tell him. I didn't need him. Hell, he hung up. He came by himself because his wife was managing those apartments when we moved in. And they had been watching me, and they'd just moved to another apartment complex. They'd been watching me go back and forth to 7-Eleven, and he kept saying, if he lives, we'll get him. Well, he came over, and I looked out that window, and there was a little short, pointed guy in short. Looked like that deacon. Had a book on his arm, and I said, oh, my God. We're going to read that book and pray. I've not only been baptized, I've been rededicated 10 times. I said, I'll just get rid of him. He came in there, we didn't read that book, we didn't pray. I don't know what he said. About that time, old what's-her-name came back in. He said, you want to go with me? Well, I didn't, but it's better than staying with her. So I got in the car with him and hit that old freeway, and my God, I knew I'd made a mistake. God, you could tell he wasn't my kind of guy. My God, he's worse than that deacon. Sorry, personality. Soon as we hit that freeway, I went back into total fright, and I said, I'll buy I waited about 15 seconds. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I got bad drunk last night, and I'm in total fright right now, and either let me off, and I'll walk off this freeway over that you told me, or take me over. I've got to have a beer, and I've got to have it right now. And besides all that, it's 11:20. He said, can you wait till we get to the club? Oh, yeah, I can do that. I can handle that total fright if I got a little light. It's when the light's out that bothers me. Now, we drove and drove. We were in kind of a bad neighborhood. Drove up in front of this old house. I said, this it? He said, yeah. I thought, well, when I get some money, I'll help these folks. Walked in there, and there's a bunch of deacons sitting over there talking about the women, the stock market. I found out later on, didn't know anything about either one. Back in the back was an old bar. The linoleum was old when they put it on there. I bet you had a hose in it. This is a program of attraction, you know. The bartender didn't look a hell of a lot better than I did. He said, mix him up a little milk and honey. I said, my God, what do you put in it? I never drank anything like that in my life. He said, well, you see, you're nervous. I said, hell, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Besides all that, you're used to sugar in your system from alcohol. And the honey's already been digested. I said, indigestion's not my problem. You know, if you throw up right, you don't have indigestion. I drank half of it, and it curdled and poof, came right back up. He said, don't worry about it. We have plenty. I thought, hell, I'm going to put on a show for these guys, I guess. One of the smart ones said, walk all you want to. Hell, I didn't want to walk at all. They just sat there and talk and laugh and watch. They've got a new animal in here today. God, I drank that stuff all afternoon and walked. I've got sweet, 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 sick, sweet, 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 sick. God, I can almost taste it now. God, it's... Hell, I hadn't had a piece of chocolate pie in 15 years. God, that stuff was sick, sick, sick. My stomach was doing everything it's supposed to do. Just kept doing it. Nothing was, you know, I want to tell you something. Honey may be all right, but it won't do what beer and whiskey will do. I'll tell you that. Finally, he said, let's go home. I said, yeah, hell yeah. I said, let me out a couple blocks from the apartment because I wanted to slip in there and get my car and get out because I knew beer would not cut that stuff. You had to get bourbon to cut that sweet taste. He said, don't drink anything. I'm going to pick you up in an hour. I said, what for? He said, we're going to a meeting. I said, where? Right back where we came from. I said, my God, we was there all day. I said, well, just let me out the apartment. And I waited and walked and waited and walked. Here he comes. Back over there we go. Kind of a funny bunch. I saw a few of them kind of hugging and kissing and glad that, but the rest of them looked like about as sad as I was. They didn't act like they're too damn glad to be there either. Then they opened up a little old funny prayer. Some gal talked about 30, 40 minutes. They just laughed. Wasn't a damn thing funny. And then this guy got up and talked about 30, 40 minutes. And they laughed. Wasn't a damn thing funny. I said, hell, these folks just crazy loons. Then they all held hands and said the Lord's Prayer. My God, the Holy Spirit moved in there. Every one of them started talking at the same time. None of them listening. God, I thought, how do you do that? They didn't lay the hands on nobody. They didn't play any songs. They didn't do nothing. Just held hands, said the Lord. I said, I'm going to keep my eyes open, see what that guy did. I'm standing back there with the deacon, and nobody's hardly speaking to us. Then I see the deal. Men and women getting together, running out and jumping in those cars and taking off. I thought, hell, that's it. After you hear a while, you get to go have a little drink and talk about this day. And I waited. We went to meeting after meeting after meeting. I said, uh-oh, I'm with the only bastard in the whole... I've got the deacon that nobody can stand. We're not getting invited anywhere. One night it was just rain, rain, rain. He called and I said, hell, it's raining. He said, did you ever go get a drink when it's raining? I said, I'll be ready. You know, what's-her-name went down the valley to see some folks, and man, that night, I just thought that was so great, I just turned out all the lights. Didn't have no light on except the TV, and had on the, pulled down all the shades. That phone just ring, 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 I let it ring. Next morning he called and said, "Where were you last night?" I said, "I was right here watching television, may do it again tonight. Liked it, liked every minute of it. By God, I've been going to those damn meetings every single night. I enjoyed it, may do it again tonight." He said, "Well, you missed it." I said, "What did I miss?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Wasn't you there?" He said, "Yeah, but I only heard what I was supposed to hear." We'll never know what it was you were supposed to hear. I said, "My God, you got to go every night and you miss it." I went every night for 3 months, got drunk, every night for 3 months, got drunk, every night for 3 months, got drunk, and I sobered up that last time on my own. I heard that it just took 72 hours for alcohol to get out of your system. I weighed about 62, which is enough for special people like me. And I went back for the meeting to officially resign, so they wouldn't be bothering me anymore. I had a meeting with me, and I had figured out the only thing that's ever been wrong with me is I've always been underfinanced. And if I can just get financed, I can leave the whole bunch. So I was going to go back to resign. And right after the meeting, that little deacon starts walking up to me, and I'm ready for him. And he says, before I can say anything, you know how they ought to talk all the time, "Don't you ever call me again." I said, "God, I'm glad you said that. I didn't call you in the first place. They called you. And I'm going to tell you something that none of your friends will tell you. Nobody here likes you." "We don't get invited anywhere. And they don't know me, so it's got to be you. And I'm going to tell you something they won't tell you. If I had as bad a personality as you do, I'd go back to drinking. You don't have to worry about it. I'll never call you again as long as I live." And I didn't till the next morning. He said, "Meet me at the club." I met him at the club, and he said, "Get your coffee and sit down. They talk to you like a dog here, you know." He said, "I'm going to tell you something about Alcoholics Anonymous. Al-Anon, Al-Teen, Al-Cotton, Al-Dog. There's absolutely no failure here. This program cannot, will not, must not, impossible to fail. It cannot fail. Provided you do exactly what we tell you to do, the way we tell you to do it. Then there's only one thing that you're going to get to do for the rest of your life. And you're the only one who gets to do that. But you get to do this and this only. You never get to do anything else. Just this. You're going to get to decide every day whether you're going to go our way of life or your way of life. If you don't give an alcoholic a decision, they'll flounder on the same subject for years." He said, "Now I'm going to give you that decision this morning, and you're going to start making it this morning and every morning from now the rest of your day. Either do exactly like we tell you to do in our way of life, or go right back out that door." I said, "I don't want to do either one." He said, "I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. I asked you what you were going to do." I said, "Do you mean to tell me that you don't care whether I want to or not?" He said, "Not at all." I said, "The group doesn't care?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, if you'll make it perfectly clear to the group that I do not want to do it, then I'll do it." He said, "Well, first of all, we've got to get some things straight. It's your thinking that's wrong." I said, "How much of my thinking's wrong?" "We always start with all of it. And if there's any good, we'll let you know." I said, "You put a sign up there that says, think, think, think." And he said, "That's for us." Says, "Now we're going to give you some things not to do and some things to do. The things we're going to give you not to do will change. The things we're going to give you to do, you'll do every day and just add to. then it'll happen over here. I said, what'll happen over there? We don't know, but it always happens. I said, you know, I've been listening to you for over 9 months. I don't understand anything you're telling me. He said, now you got it. I said, damn it, you don't listen to me. I said, I do not understand. He said, and that's it, and don't you ever forget it. There's two things that you're to remember for the rest of your days. No matter what's going on in your life, you do not understand. Then you'll have understanding. And when you quit trying to understand, then you'll enjoy it. And the other thing is, no matter what is your situation, it's or your circumstance, it's never the situation, it's never her, it's never them, and it's never God. It's you that must become different. You must become different than you have ever been before. I said, how do I do that? He said, oh, you can't. I said, what the hell you tell me for then? He said, that's what's going to happen to you. He said, now I'm going to give you the kicker. This is the one thing that got you here. But it's also the one thing that if it does not change, will keep you from getting all the things that God has for His children. As long as you know that you know, you'll never know. But when you begin to do what we tell you not to do and to do, then you'll begin to know you don't know. Then you'll begin to know. I said, hell, you're crazy. He said, I know. So now, since you don't know how to not do anything, this is where we're going to not do something. You know that card I gave you that has my name?
Four other men, no women on mine.
And the club number? Yeah. When you get squirrely, definitely before you take a drink or a pill, you call that number no matter when it is. Now, if you gut it through and don't make the call, you didn't do it. Call, make the call. Make the call. And that's the way we're going to learn how to not do something. Now, this is what we're going to begin to do every day. And as we go along, I'll tell you what to add to it. The first thing in the morning when you get out of bed, you get out on your knees and you say this prayer. God, take me today. Let me be what you want me to be. Let thy will only be done in my life. Help me to definitely not take a drink of anything alcoholic or mind-changing drug. Amen. Do not need to tell God what He has not done, nor what He needs to do. God is highly capable of handling that all by Himself. And then call me before you go to the bathroom. I said, why before I go to the bathroom? You may not need to go. I said, do you mean to tell me that you don't think I've got sense enough to know when I need to go to the bathroom? He said, we'll find out. They don't give you a lot of credit here, you know. Right before I got down on my knees that morning, I said, God, you and I know He don't know. Hell, He's a Presbyterian. I said, but we're going to do it just exactly the way He says to do it. So when I get enough of this, I can tell Him to shove it. Got through that prayer, made sure before I picked up that phone I need to go to the bathroom. Picked up that phone, he didn't ask where I need to go, and I said, go to the bathroom, meet me at the club. I met him at the club, and he said, now, go to work. I said, I hate my job. He said, what's that got to do with it? I said, you never hear me. I said, I hate my job. He said, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. I said, well, I hate it so much I couldn't even go to work yesterday. He said, what'd you do, sit in that chair? I said, yeah, till noon. And then went to the club. He said, well, you don't know how to go to work. I said, well, what do you mean? Go get in the car. You write this down, you can catch it. And he said, and besides that prayer you say every morning, when you get in the car every day, invite God in today. I said, how do you do that? He said, you say, God, I invite you into the day. Write that down. See, you got those two things to catch it. You don't lose your notes. Then I met him back at the club after work, and they let you sit down there, listen to us, don't say anything. Then they'll say out loud where everybody can hear, it's time for you to go home and eat supper. Hell, I know it's time. I know to do that. Act like we're 2 years old and you know we're five. And come back to the meeting, and I come back to the meeting, and after the meeting he says, now go home and thank God for the day. I said, I did not thank God for the day. It's been a miserable damn day. Besides that, I hate you, and I hate AA, and I hate God. I hate her, and I hate my job. I hate, hate my finance. I hate every damn thing here. He said, do you feel like you're not sincere? I said, yeah. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite like them. I'm them folks. He said, do you feel like you don't mean it? I said, that's it. He said, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. He said, it's only the action that you're taking that we're giving you to take that's going to make you different. And the action you're taking, you never know what you're taking it for. Because you can never take the action for certain things to happen. You'll just take the action, and then whatever's going to happen will happen. But you never know what that is. Well, I understood that, so I wouldn't read into that. I said, do you mean to tell me that God does not care whether I mean it when I pray to Him or not? He said, not at all. God's highly capable of taking care of that relationship between you and Him without you helping one single bit. You just do what we tell you not to do and do, and God will take care of everything else. I said, do you mean to tell me that nobody cares whether I'm sincere or not? Not a bit. The group? No. I just got in the car and went home, locked the door, so what's the name couldn't get in there, got down on my knees. I said, okay, by God, God, thank you for a miserable damn day. Amen. Hell, if he don't care and they don't care and God don't care, hell, I don't care. Did that for about 2 months. Did everything he told me. Well, he told me to do it. Hated it. Did it. Hated it. Did it. Hated it and did it. I only hated it all I could every day. One morning, about 9:15, driving down that old 610 loop above Memorial Drive, Houston, God moved into that car with me as my friend. First time in my life that He ever moved into me knowingly as my friend. And I knew something like I had never known it before. I knew I would never need to take another drink of anything alcoholic or a mind-changing drug unless I myself insisted upon it. And I knew it. God, that day was fantastic. God stayed with me about 3 o'clock that afternoon. I thought, man, I'm going to get a tent and some tambourines. And I'm going to go out and hit the road and save some souls. Lord, He stayed with me. I thought every day was going to be on that cloud from then on out, baby. God, I couldn't wait for Him to get back. He's 20 minutes late to get to that club, and He walked through that door. I said, get your coffee and sit down. The Baptist has taken over. Well, they don't like it coming back. But He did it. And when He sat down there, I told Him what had happened and what I was thinking about doing. And He grinned just a little and said, thank God we've got that over with. Now we can get started. I said, my God, that took a year. He said, some are sicker than others. I said, what are you going to do about old what's-her-name? He said, I'm not going to do anything. He said, you know, most people get here married right. Some people married wrong. We use the master counselor here only. And you've got to find out if you want to whether you're married right or not. He said, but I'm leaving my marriage just like it is. We're not changing nothing. But I know a guy that's worked his out. So he sent me to him. He's Episcopalian. And he said, what do you want? And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I've got brain damage. They've had me on hold for almost 2 years. And I'm not sleeping with old what's-her-name, and they won't let me go with anybody else. I had one picked out all the time, though, I'll guarantee you that. Because I thought if I ever get off a caution, I'm going to have her with me. And I had her, and she'd always be in my group to go to ice cream. And she'd be right next to me. And she'd say, "You know, I just can't trust a woman. I just can't talk to a woman. But I feel comfortable talking to you." I'd always say, "I'll help you, baby." We have a little of that trouble in Fort Worth, but I understand you don't have a problem here. He said, I said, "I want to know if I can live happily with one woman. And if I can't, I'm going to go back to do my thing no matter what they say." He said, "Do you remember that lonesome time when you came into Alcoholics Anonymous and you didn't fit in AA and you didn't fit back out there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "If you're willing to go through that lonesome period in every area of your life, I'll not only guarantee your relationship with a woman, I'll guarantee your relationship with your fellow man that you would never believe. And I'll give you a bonus on top of that. I'll guarantee your relationship with God that you could never have imagined." I said, "I don't believe that." He said, "Isn't that fantastic?" I said, "What do you mean? You don't need to." I said, "Do you mean tell me I don't have to believe?" He said, "Not at all." He said, "We just got things for you to do and not to do. You don't have to believe anything." Says, "You know those things you think about all day long?" "Yeah." "You could think about something else, wouldn't make any difference." I said, "You mean the stuff I think about doesn't have anything to do with anything?" He said, "Not at all." I said, "Hell, you're trying to eliminate me." And he said, "Wouldn't that be fantastic?" Said, "If we could eliminate you, you'd have it all." Well, I certainly wasn't going to pursue that. He said, "Now, you don't know how to live. So, are you still married?" I said, "Yeah, but I sleep in my place, she sleeps in hers. I'm praying for somebody to sleep with her anymore." And he said, "Well, we'll just practice on her while she's there." Says, "You never change a situation. You're going to let it be changed." And he said, "This is the way you live with another human being. You never tell her what's wrong with her ever again." I said, "Who's going to tell her?" He said, "I don't know, but you're not. And you're never going to do anything with children, friends, Al-Anons, anybody, to work her around. To get her to do what you want her to do, or to get her to do anything, or to get her to do anything so y'all will be better." I said, "Never?" He said, "Never." "And you're going to pray for it?" I said, "I'm not." He said, "Yes, you are, and you're going to say these words. In the beginning, you may have to say them many, many times. And you may have to say these maybe 100 times the first day, every time it comes to your mind. God, thy will be done for her as well as for me. Take our relationship, let it become what you want it to be, and show me the truth." I said, "I do not want God's will to be done for her as well as for me." He said, "Remember, what you want has nothing to do with it." Well, I started doing that. Wasn't too long after that old sex, love, lust thing, whatever that was in me, surfaced. God, I had it, and I couldn't get rid of it, and I told him every living day, and then I finally told the group. And one of the girls said, "You're not supposed to say that to the group." So I slipped over and told another group. And then one of them snitched on me. You know, we don't gossip here, we're just concerned. He said, "We've been hearing about you and old what's-her-name for 2 solid years. And we're so sick and tired of hearing about that thing you've got that hurts your God." And said, "Usually when you stop action on something, God removes it. But for some reason that has not happened to you. Oh, what's-her-name's out of town, and you go back over and you get in that apartment and you lock that damn door and don't you come out of there till you and God settle that deal." I went there and I prayed all day and I'd cry and I'd cuss and I'd use those old long Baptist prayers or whatever there was I was praying. And then about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, I went to sleep. And the next morning, I waked up. For the first time in years, that thing was not there. Then I knew. I was capable of having it someday with somebody. And you know what happened? Reno, what's her name? When my sickness was gone, you know what we had? Nothing. You know what nothing is? Nothing. Do you know how to get sick? Make something out of nothing. They had taken her to Al-Anon. I said, she ought to go to Al-Anon. They said, that's our business. They took her to Al-Anon, and Al-Anon, I want you to know, and I go on record and on tape and affidavit. I love you. I love you. She found you depressing. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Well, I was calling on this girl in the hospital. And one day she's walking down the hall. I said, you know, maybe that's the type of girl I'm always supposed to have. They still got me on hold. I do two things. Work. And go to meetings. Think all I want to, but no action. And then finally, I took she and four other women to a hospital convention. And sure enough, I got some strange, funny feelings when I was with her. I was around them, and they accused us of going together. And when I got back, I said, oh, God. I went to the hospital. I said, I'm sorry, we can't go to the cafeteria. We're going to have to go to your office. I've got to tell you something. I may be falling in love with you, but there's nothing I can do about it. My sponsor will not let me have an affair. I'm only 45, you know. Gray-headed. And that makes a Southern Baptist look funny. Then I know I've screwed up. I said, well, I guess I'll have to tell you the rest of it now. I'm an alcoholic. I go to AA every single night, twice on Saturdays and Sundays. I do two things, work and go to AA. They won't let me do anything else. I've had brain damage in 2 years not doing anything else. She said, well, what's it all about? Well, I don't know. We smoke too much and our eyes burn. We drink coffee and can't sleep at night. Pray and cuss. Meet every night. And nobody knows what we're doing. And she's looking funnier all the time. And I said, well, I'll just have to call my sponsor. So I called him and he said, what have you been doing? I said, I ain't done nothing. He said, bring her over here. She looked funny, but she went. We got over there, he did the same thing. We'll take care of this, sonny. Talked to her for an hour and a half. I thought, hell, I believe he's going with her. And finally he says, well, looks like God might be going to do something with you. Man, I know what to do now. Just sign old GC's name at that motel. I've been on caution now for almost 2 years. I'm ready to go. He said, remember our deal? We made the agreement. Without God, A, and Al-Anon in that home, be no home. God, A, and Al-Anon has to be ahead of that home. That was our deal. She had a bad marriage, but no alcohol. She's a religious person, knows nothing about our way of life. She's going to have to go to Al-Anon, and if she gets converted and wants this way of life, then we'll work on it. Otherwise, no go. I said, what am I supposed to do? Nothing. That's my hardest thing I do today. Nothing. When it's obvious, I could work it out. Well, I had to tell her how to go to Al-Anon. I said, just go in there and tell them your name's Eloise. Don't tell them another damn thing. Hell, they don't need to know anything else. They need to know why she was there. She said, they want to know why I was there. I said, well, tell them you're going to marry an alcoholic. That'll be good. They spent 3 meetings telling her why she should not marry an alcoholic. And I took her across town, and she heard the woman alcoholic talk. And she heard the woman alcoholic talk, and she heard the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she went back to that Al-Anon group, said, you've got a program here, and I want it. And that little old girl hit bottom, and we converted that Southern Baptist. You know, Catholics and Southern Baptists have the hardest time finding God, but when they do, they're all right. And we do have that relationship today that God gives one man and one woman, and it is free. And God, A and Al-Anon, does live in our home. She had 3 children. The older one was a Southern, the one they like, Southwest Seminary Baptist preacher. Had a wife and little daughter. He heard that his mother was probably on pills and had married an alcoholic. We did not see him for about 3 years.
And finally he showed up, and just 2 years ago he finally trusted us with that little daughter. And he and his mother finally worked things out, and he's finally taken those people to AA today. He thought at first when I gave him the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, we were claiming salvation, and we do, but we don't tell them. And we have a great relationship today. He goes to see his daddy, none anymore. Stayed with us a month the year before last when he came back from being a missionary. And he has a church in Indiana. And that little daughter, when she got on the plane last year, she said, I just want y'all to know that this is the best time I've ever had in my life. Of course, they don't know it. We took her to an AA convention, too, during that time. The middle boy is probably going to be one of us. He's sleeping with a mattress and by himself in an apartment. He's got a divorce. And we asked him if he thought he was drinking too much, and he said no. So I'm sure he's not. He's been to see us 11 times this last year and then made it twice. And the daughter had a bad relationship with the guy she was in love with that she'd gone with through high school, married somebody else. And she went off with an old bearded, dirty-haired, pot-smoking boy. Quit college. And then they went back forth. And finally, Eloise and Al-Anon worked that out. I could have helped them, but they wouldn't let me, of course. And today, that girl had a personality at first, about like that chair down there before they covered it. Beautiful, slender, brown, blue-eyed blonde, about 5'8" and a half. And now they cleaned up, put that boy through college, and now they have two babies, 1 5 and 1 2 and a half, and the 5-year-old's mine. And I've claimed her, and nobody else is going to get her. And it's just that way. I'm sorry. We call and make love on the phone. They spent all the Christmases with us, even though we had the altar Christmas a little bit, but I took care of that. We just had a week early, Caroline, when you had to go to those folks. She goes to see her dad about once a year at the most. And in fact, we're seeing her more now at times than we really planned. And we're having great Christmases and great Thanksgivings today. And she's an absolute delight to be around. She's a beautiful mother and a wife. And his dad died when he was about 10 years old, and he told me about 6 years ago that I was really the only father he ever had. Hell, I had to go to my sponsor and say, listen, I just wanted to get on the married deal. Hell, I've got kids and grandkids. And you got to teach them what to do with all these. I thought you could kill little kids when they did that. Thank goodness you don't take any action until you check with your sponsor. But they're an absolute delight to be with and to be around. I'm glad I know some things about you and I today. And I'm so grateful you and I are going to get to know. God, we wanted to know. And I wanted to know. I didn't know I wanted to know so bad. And I'm glad I know that the only teacher that you and I are going to have is God Himself. I'm glad nobody could tell us anything. And I'm glad that we're only going to get this thing one way and one way only. Through the experience. We can't study it, memorize it, learn it, be taught. No way we can get it. One way only. God Himself is going to be our teacher. God Himself is going to make all those changes within you and I. Without any shadow of a doubt. How is He going to do that? As we experience those situations that you or someone else puts us in. Through those situations, as we don't change them ourselves, God can change me. And I can move from this place to that place and that place. So God can give me all those things that He has for His children. I'm glad I know that God chose you and I to be His special child. Who took care of you and I on the way to here? Only God Himself could have done it. We did everything we could to die. And why couldn't we die? Because we were God's special chosen child. And God had everything in mind for us. We just had to get prepared. You and I didn't know where we were going when we got here, did we? Then it's none of our business where we're going after we get here. This was our place, wasn't it? Did you know when you had a car wreck, when you had to run out and get drunk again that night, that you was just getting ready to get here? Didn't, did we? This is it. the one single thing for us to have it all. Took those drunks and took living with those drunks to get us to the place that God Himself had chosen for you and I, His chosen people. Only thing you and I didn't know that we need to know was that God really does love us, and you and I didn't know that. I'm glad I know that's the only thing you and I didn't know. And if we'd have known that, that's the only thing we'd have needed to know. But we didn't know that. But see, the difference was going to be you. I could have gone to 1,000 churches, 90 different denominations. Nothing was going to happen to me. I used to think if I'd just turned left instead of right, if I'd just done this instead of that, my life would have been different. No, it wouldn't. You and I, right this minute, are right on time. We're not late, and we're not early. We're exactly where we're supposed to be. And I know that today. I've only known it for a couple of years, but I know. We're in our place. But the difference was you. You're the one. It was you I couldn't find. It was you is where it's going to happen. And it was not going to happen till God sent me to be with you. And the minute I was ready, just like you, He sent us to be there, and He sent us to be there. We came in here at exactly the right time, His time. Nobody knows your time. Nobody knows the path you're going to go down. Yours is going to be different than mine. But you and I have got the way to go down that path. And this is it, baby. You're home. We won the game. All we've got to do is let it be played out. Before, we lost some battles. We won some battles, but we lost the game. Now we're going to lose some battles and just sit back and win that game. But we've got the power. We've got the power that only God gives His children. And only God's children have that power. And only God's children win that game. Just like it's been here, just like it is right now. As we meet together once again, and He's never failed us when we call one another, or when we meet together, just like it is right now. Thank God I stayed with you long enough to feel God loving me, sometimes me loving Him back. But the difference was you. It was you that I was looking for. Just like it is right now. And I can feel you loving me, and me loving you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I love it, man. You're a good one. Jim, we got a little token of our appreciation for you coming. That's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus 4. Let me see if I can find the anonymity here. Don't read it? Okay. Y'all don't forget we're going to have a ice cream sociable, or whatever they want to call it, but it's eating ice cream right over there. You got to dip you on, I reckon. Y'all will, let's close this meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.